Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener supported, hands on radio for Green and Columbia counties. I'm Antonia, I'm 13, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Emily, I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library. I'm also from Hudson.
Woo! So, Emily and I, and occasionally Ingrid, or Moshi, or Mamuda, and sometimes, very rarely, but sometimes Garrett, and previously Quinn and Maddie, and maybe Quinn again, and it's all really complicated, are here every Monday from 3:30 to 4 p.m. talking about books. Books we love, books we're currently reading,
all that good stuff.
Yay! So today, since, you know, Halloween's coming up and stuff, real soon this Thursday, we're going to talk about scary books.
Ooh. Yes. Do you know what else is coming up?
Wow.
All Hallows Read.
Really?
Do you know what All Hallows Read is?
All the hollow trees read books?
Yeah. Well, it's All Hallow, like Halloween.
Hallow. Oh, Hallow.
Like All Hallows Read. So it's a holiday tradition, and the idea is that you're supposed to give someone a scary book the night, in the week of Halloween or on the night itself. You're supposed to give someone a scary book.
I have a scary book.
And I guess it's usually a gift, so it's something you'd give them, but I guess you could also just lend them a scary book. That would be acceptable too.
Is that when did that start? Did you make it up, Emily?
I did not make it up, and I'm not sure when it started.
And who knows about it?
A few years ago.
If I said, "Happy All Hallows Read," would someone be like, "I think it's Halloween, but okay, whatever, man." Or would they be like, "Oh, yes, to you too"?
I think most people would not know what it is, and that's why we spread the word.
Word.
Spreading.
Spread like peanut butter.
I like the idea, though.
I think it's a cool idea.
I'm actually going to be giving a scary book to the library.
I decided
to donate a book.
Whoa, really?
That is scary. I'm also going to donate a scary movie, even though it's not a book.
What's the scary movie?
The birds. It's only sort of scary. It's pretty scary. If you're scared of birds, it would be very scary.
Like Triss.
That is an excellent
movie. From Divergent, the third book of which came out really recently, and it's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Have you started reading it yet?
I have not because I am incapable of acquiring it, unfortunately. Yes, but I hope to very, very soon. Yeah, maybe I'll give you a scary book, Emily.
You think so?
Maybe.
Woo!
It would be really frightening.
I like a good scary book.
Yeah, scary books are good. The one scary book that I have is, it's like a collection of short scary stories. I was listening to a radio station this morning, and they were talking about scary stories and urban legends, and most of them I was like, I read that in my scary story book. So, yeah. But we have a scary book here in the studio, don't we?
Yes, we have a few.
We do?
Ooh. Did you want to introduce one of the scary books?
Yeah. One of the scary books was a battle book this year. And the cover...
It was a Newbery Award-winning book.
Because it's fancy and stuff.
And the author of the book really is into All Hallows Read. In fact, I think he maybe invented it.
Really?
I would have to look it up to be sure, but I think he invented All Hallows Read.
Did. I find the cover more frightening than the actual book. Like, the actual book was, like, somewhat scary. Oh, and the pictures are really scary, too.
Mm-hmm.
But then the actual book was, like, moderately frightening.
There's some scary parts.
There are, like...
I heard some people that read it had nightmares.
Ooh.
Well, so what's the book?
The book, right. It's
The Suspense.
The Graveyard Book by Neil Gaiman with illustrations by Dave McKean.
Yay.
Woo.
I love the illustrations in that book.
I know, they're great,
aren't they? I love the book, too.
I do. It's such a good book. It's just, like, really, really good. And the first page is black and has a knife on it and has, like, one sentence, and then you have to turn the page.
It's a good first sentence, though.
It
really sets the mood.
I'm going to read a little bit of this book.
Will you read the first sentence?
Okay. And then I'll read a couple stuff after the okay. first sentence too. Chapter 1. How Nobody Came to the Graveyard. There was a hand in the darkness, and it held a knife. And there's like this picture of this hand holding a knife in the darkness. And then it says, the knife had a handle of polished black bone and a blade finer and sharper than any razor. If it sliced you, you might not even know you had been cut, not immediately. The knife had done almost everything it was brought to the house to do, and both the blade and the handle were wet. The street door was still open just a little, where the knife and the man who held it had slipped in. The wisps of nighttime mist slithered and twined into the house through the open door. The man, Jack, paused on the landing. With his left hand, he pulled a large white handkerchief from the pocket of his black coat, and with it he wiped off the knife blade and his gloved right hand, which had been holding it. Then he put the handkerchief away. The hunt was almost over. It had left the woman in her bed, and the man on the bedroom floor, the older children in her child in her brightly colored bedroom, surrounded by toys and half-finished models, that only left the little one, the baby, barely a toddler to take care of. One more, and his task would be done. He flexed his fingers. The man Jack was above all things a professional. Or so he told himself, and he would not allow himself to smile until the job was completed. His hair was dark and his eyes were dark, and he wore black leather gloves of the thinnest lambskin. The toddler's room was at the very top of the house. The man Jack walked up the stairs, his feet silent on the carpeting. Then he pushed open the attic door, and he walked in. His shoes were black leather, and they were polished to such a shine that they looked like dark mirrors. You could see the moon reflected in them, tiny and half full. The real moon shone through the casement window. I'm not sure if that's a typo or casement is actually a word.
I think it's an actual word.
What does it mean?
We'll have to look it up in the dictionary later.
Okay. Its light was not bright, and it was diffused by the mist. But the man Jack would not need much light. The moonlight was enough. It would do. He could make out the shape of the child in the crib, head and limbs and torso. The crib had high, slated sides to prevent the child from getting out. Jack leaned over, raised his hand, the one holding the knife, and he aimed for the chest. And then he lowered his hand. The shape in the crib was a teddy bear. There was no child. The man Jack's eyes were accustomed to the dim moonlight, so he had no desire to turn on an electric light, and light was not that important after all. He had other skills. The man Jack sniffed the air. He ignored the scents that had come into the room with him, dismissed the scents that he could safely ignore, honed in on the smell of the thing he had come to find. He could smell the child, a milky smell like chocolate chip cookies and the sour tang of a wet, disposable nighttime diaper. He could smell the baby shampoo in its hair, and something small and rubbery, a toy, he thought, and then, no, something to suck that the child had been carrying. The child had been here. It was here no longer. The man Jack followed his nose down the stairs through the middle of the tall, thin house. He inspected the bathroom, the kitchen, the airing cupboard, and finally the downstairs hall, in which there was nothing to be seen but the family's bicycles, a pile of empty shopping bags, a fallen diaper, and the stray tendrils of fog that had insinuated themselves into the hall from the open door to the street. The man Jack made a small noise then, a grunt that contained in it both frustration and also satisfaction. He slipped the knife into its sheath and in the inside pocket of his long coat, and he stepped out into the street. There was moonlight, and there were street lights, but the fog sifted everything, stifled everything, muted light and muffled sound, and made the night shadowy and treacherous. He looked down the hill towards the light of the closed shops, then up the street where the last high houses wound up the hill on their way to the darkness of the old graveyard. The man Jack sniffed the air. Then, without hurrying, he began to walk up the hill. Drum roll, please.
Da, da, da.
Yeah. That was that. Yeah. That's the beginning of that that book. It sounds pretty scary, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The beginning's pretty frightening. It's pretty frightening. If you're a baby and someone comes into your house to kill you, you should, like, leave.
It's the moral of the story.
Probably also if you're not a baby.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. But, yeah. Particularly if you're
and
a baby.
And watch out for the man Jack.
Ooh. I think it's a creative name because it's, like, his name is Jack, and he's, like, the man Jack, but then also it's, like, Jack is, like, a word for, like, it just sounds like a, I can't describe
sounds
it.
Sounds violent.
Yeah, it sounds violent. Mm. Like, Jack.
The man Jack.
Yeah. So, that was the Graveyard Book by Neil Gaiman, and, yeah, we read that for the Battle of the Books last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. I love that book.
It's a good book, and as far as I know, Garrett really likes it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we can all be book lovers.
Hooray. Do you have any favorite scary books that you've read?
Well, you know, I didn't find this book particularly frightening, which most people could be like, what? Why not? But I know a lot of other people are, like, really freaked out by this book. So my favorite supposedly scary book is definitely A Clockwork Orange. And that's why I'm totally being Alex for Halloween.
Are you?
Yeah. And no place has bowler hats. So Emily, if you own a bowler hat, you should totally lend it to me.
I don't know that that's something I own.
Oh.
Sorry.
Well,
but listeners, if you want to lend Antonia
a
bowler hat, make her costume dreams come true.
Totally. Yeah, you should
drop
do that.
Drop it off, WGXE.
Yeah.
The note for Antonia.
Yeah.
We'll get it.
Totally. Yeah. Ooh. So that's definitely my favorite.
I haven't read that book, but I was definitely disturbed by the movie. So I don't know. Maybe people are... Maybe it's a disturbed scary.
Like, if I ask them... They'll be like, that's a really scary movie. And I'm like, well, I'm just thinking of the book. I haven't actually seen the movie. But the book is really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah. And I enjoy it. And it's really interesting, and it's a good length. And it's a classic, too. So, I mean, like, hey, you should read it. Yeah. And that book was also... I actually got... two books that I really liked recommended to me in correlation with that book. Someone at this bookstore was like, what books do you like? And I was like, well, I really like A Clockwork Orange. And they were like, then you would probably like Lullabies for Little Criminals, which I thought was not very nice because I really liked both those books, but they weren't similar at all.
Hmm.
The only thing that might have been similar was the fact that they were both somewhat violent. And I thought, well, that's not... I mean, just because there's, like, a lot of violent books. You shouldn't just, mm-hmm. like, base, like, your preference. But both of them were really good. Lullabies for Little Criminals was, like, Lexi level, like, 2, probably. It was, like, a really easy read. Which I thought was funny because it was good. Yeah. And then the other one that I really liked that was recommended to me in correlation with Clockwork Orange was Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? And that recommendation made me happy because it wasn't violent, per se, but it was, like, I guess a similar writing style, and it was also a classic, and it was really good. And I just watched the movie last night, and I talked about it, I think, like, twice the book, so I'm not really going to talk about it, but the movie was really good, and it was pretty gruesome, and my mom fell asleep for most of it, so that was good. But yeah, they were both really good. Do you have a favorite scary book, Emily?
I don't know if I have a favorite scary book. I'm trying to remember. When I was little, the first scary books I read were probably these books by Christopher Pike and R.L. Stein, pre-Goosebumps, the Fear Street books, which I guess he's going to start writing Fear Street books again, releasing a new one next year, which, for those who know the Goosebumps series, those are really aimed at younger readers, like maybe upper elementary or middle school. And Fear Street was more for a teen audience. So I remember reading those when I was in elementary and middle school. And then I think the first, like, adult scary book that I read was Misery by Stephen King. That was a very good book. Or I remember it being very good. I read it in middle school. But it was creepy. It was more creepy than scary, I think.
Creepy.
In recent years, I've read a couple that were pretty scary. There's one that didn't get much attention. It was a debut novel, and it was first released in the UK, and then was released in the US. When was that released? I guess in July of the year before. It's called Long Lankin by Lindsay Barraclough.
Lindsay.
And it's about two sisters that go to live with their auntie.
That's a real original
at
premise.
At Garden Hall in the village of Briar's Garden. And their auntie Ida clearly does not want them to be there, wants them to go home to London. She has really strict rules about where they can go and when. And the house is all boarded up. And this is like back in the day, pre-air conditioning. So it's all boarded up in the summer. So it's like stiflingly hot and really uncomfortable. But it becomes clear at some point through their searching with some neighborhood or village
boys
that something bad happened at Garden Hall, and that it involved children and a man named Long Lankin, and that potentially Mimi is in grave danger.
Was there any romance?
No, they were much younger children, the characters. I forget how old the oldest was. I don't remember. I think the oldest was maybe like 12.
Oh.
And then the boys in they were all like in the 6 to 12 range.
That's a pretty original premise, man. You know, like people go to live with their aunts. Well, I hope she did a good job, because it's impressive if you can take such a used idea and make it good. And Emily,
I thought it was very good.
That's impressive, though. That takes some skill, because like it's got a lot of competition, you know, people going to live with their aunt. So that's good.
Mm-hmm. I think there was enough mystery going on, and sort of the backstory was so unique enough that it worked for me.
So it had like younger kids, but was it like a younger read, or was it more of an adult book?
It was released as by Candlewick Press, which does books for, you know, young adults, middle grade, and teens and children.
That's nice.
So I would guess that it was aimed at a teen audience. I think it would be too scary for some younger readers, but I enjoyed it as an adult.
But you enjoy everything as an adult, Emily.
That's true. I'm very good at enjoying things.
You're a secret. You're secretly not an adult. You're just pretending.
Fooled you all. Well, except Antonio.
Fooled you all, except Antonio.
But I like, there's this little thing from Long Lankin that I thought was really creepy. I don't think it's quite a poem, but there's like a little sort of poetic verse of some sort at the beginning of the novel. And it's later sort of condensed to be a little shorter, but it says, the shorter part is, "Let the doors be all bolted and the windows all pinned, and leave not a hole for a mouse to creep in. The doors were all bolted and the windows all pinned, except one little window where Long Lankin creeped in." That's very creepy.
That is.
That helps you understand creepy. A little bit why the house is all bolted up.
And why it's a creepy book. Mm-hmm. Or how it's a creepy book.
Yes. Who is this Long Lankin?
Hi, guys. My name is Long. Yeah. Whatever. Dude, just name my kid Long here. Whatever.
Yeah.
That is pretty creepy. I mean, sometimes I don't like reading books about younger children, but I think if it's done creepily enough, that would be nice. Mm-hmm. Now I want to read it and see.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes. Tisk, tisk.
So. So have you read anything interesting recently? Are you still working on?
I'm working on my 1,065 page book. Okay, don't expect me to have a
new
book.
The Count of Monte Cristo
by Alexandre Dumas. Yes, it's good.
What page are you on?
I am still on page like 70-ish.
Okay.
It's like five
pages.
You
made about
10
page
past. Yeah.
Progress.
Yeah.
So 10 pages.
Well,
a
no,
week.
Because I also
we'll
finished.
Get there eventually.
I also finished another book this week.
That do androids?
Yeah.
Dream of a
I hadn't sheet? Really finished it. I was like kind of taking my time, and I finally finished it. So don't think I just read like 2 pages a day, man. No, I totally read more than that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's quite all right to not finish a book in a week.
It is.
I started 2 books this week. But I didn't finish any of them.
I'm in sort of like a reading, traffic jam, because I have like a bunch of books that people are recommending to me, mm-hmm. and ones that people aren't recommending to me, but I just really want to read, and books that have just came out that I want to read. But then I have this really long book that I feel obliged to read, and I don't want to start any new books. Until I'm done with this one, but I have like 1,000 pages to go, so it's like whoops. Okay,
you'll make it someday.
I know.
You'll be like my age when you finish that book.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
And then I could be hosting this radio show instead of you, and then I'll
you
say like, "Hey, Emily," and then or like doing the pushy things. And then you'll be here in your little chair because you'll be too old to do the little pushy things. So you'll just have to talk. And then I'll be like, so I finished it. And you'll be like, yay! And then everyone will live happily ever after. That's my lovely prediction.
It is lovely.
We're silly. And I got cat socks.
She did. She has some cat socks. Mm. And some of the cats are winking.
Wink, wink.
Did you know that your friend Pusheen, the cat, is coming out with a book?
Really?
Pusheen, I don't remember when. Maybe it's already out, actually.
I think it's already out. I actually did know about that, but that's really cool.
Guess what? It's coming out this week.
Whoa!
October 29th.
There's books coming out this week?
Mm-hmm. But Pusheen the cat, some people may know as the cat whose picture you can send on Facebook to people.
But it's still like the best cat in the world. So, and there you can send a little thing like sticker of Pusheen reading a book when you're on Facebook.
Yeah.
Or like
Pusheen is well read.
Yeah, totally.
For a cat.
Yeah, he's great. I like or she it. Pusheen makes me happy. Ooh. Well, if you want to hear more stuff from us because we're cool and you like hearing stuff from us, you should totally visit our blog at wearebound.wordpress.com, and then you can hear previous shows or more reviews or reviews by people that aren't always here because I'm like the only one that comes. Hello, hey guys, you should come, people.
Oh, speaking of which, I spoke with Ingrid the other day, and she should be back soon because cross country is almost over. And
it's her
birthday! Happy birthday,
Happy
Ingrid!
Happy birthday! Yay!
Woo. She's getting old.
She's an old lady.
Yay.
She's almost old enough to finish my book. She's almost as old as I will be when I finish it, not quite.
Yeah,
but almost. So, yeah, you can totally, you can hear shows that are so old that Ingrid was on them, mm-hmm. and you can be like, I really like that lady, and then you can keep listening every Monday from 3:30 to 4, and you can hear her because she's coming back soon. Yay! Mm-hmm. And you could email us at wearebroundbybooks@gmail.com, and you could be like, hey, I listened to your show, and I want to wish Ingrid a happy birthday. And that would be nice. Or you could say other things, too. But that would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yay!
Yes. And we all We hope you have a nice Halloween and a happy All Hallows read.
What? Yeah.
Give someone you love a scary book. Fill their week with nightmares.
Please do it.
It's worth it.
It is.
They're worth it.
Yeah. Special people deserve scary books. So mm-hmm. Yeah.
And please stay tuned for the afternoon show. Yay. It'll be filled with goodness.
It will.
Yes, good things. Woo. Maybe some bad things, but I'm sure they will handle any of the bad things well.
Yes.
You never know with the news what's going to come up.
You don't know. So yeah.
There may be some bad news.
There may be.
I can't stop it.
We don't know.
But hopefully it'll be good news.
Yay. Happy
reading.
They'll
do some other stuff too.
We'll
see you next week.
Yay. Bye.